The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content.
Sorry, guys, you are on your own.
This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
That's right, it's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The website is federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. The regular season is over with a big win in Dallas. The Redskins 34-23 over the Dallas Cowboys. The Redskins in the season, NFC East champs at 9-7. The Cowboys, a lowly, very pitiful 4-12 on the season.
Weren't you kind of sad to see that happen?
You know
man?
What? No, I wasn't actually, to be honest with you.
I was sad. You know, it's bad, but I was looking before the show started. I was looking all through the internet. You know that violin song they used to play on the cartoons? I was looking for it because that was perfect for this game. The Cowboys were just pitiful, man, pathetic. They were just
well, and that's the
sad.
Way. And that's the way. To be honest with you, it's looked for them most of the year. Again, without Roman, you know, you're looking at Brandon Whedon. They can't score with him. Then they're looking at Matt Castle. They can't score with him. Then you've got Kellen Moore from Boise State. Never played the NFL game before. A couple weeks ago, when he took over for Castle, and he just looks pitiful. I mean, it's funny when you take away one player from a team that was 12-4 last year. Totally competent. Really, what? Maybe a catch, the Dez catch away in Green Bay from perhaps going to the NFC Championship game. You take one guy from that team and they're the exact opposite. They go from 12-4 to 4-12.
I
feel bad for them? Absolutely
I
not.
I think you made a mistake, man, because I saw a little earlier today that Brandon Whedon was going to the playoffs.
Yeah, Whedon's going to the playoffs with the Houston Texans and Dallas, who gave up on Whedon after three games.
Oh, he's not with Dallas. Anymore.
Gave up after three games. By the way, the three games Whedon played, Dez Bryant was also out. Gave up on him after that. And now he's in the playoffs, Dallas isn't. It's ironic, isn't it?
Man, we just don't know football, I guess, around here.
So anyway, we're done talking about the Cowboys. Because look, not only is this the season-ending Federal Football Report, this is the now playoff edition of the Federal Football Report because the regular season is over. All the chumps like the Cowboys have gone home. They're all finished with their season. No more Giants talk. No more Eagles talk. We'll maybe talk a little bit about this Cowboys game. We saw some great things, especially in the first half from Captain Kirk and the boys, but the Cowboys are done. It's now time for playoff talk, and you've got this new sound clip that you love to play for our boy Captain Kirk. Let's go ahead and hear that.
Captain Kirk.
Of a winner right there. Right. That's what we got.
And Captain Curtin, first half, 12 for 15, 176 yards, three touchdowns. And it was good to see the first team offense and defense for the most part get out there and play because it showed that, look, we just want to make sure things are good, make sure we're rolling, make sure you can get into the playoffs with some momentum. And they came in, they played well. Again, Captain Kirk, 12 of 15, 176 yards, three touchdowns. And so the offense was rolling, defense played well.
Wait a minute, man. You're skipping something very important. Because I know that Captain Kirk listens to this show, right? Remember, mm-hmm. He called me. I said, Kirk, what's happening? He said,
but
we know that.
But why are you yelling at us? We didn't do anything to you.
But, you know, he set the single season passing record for the Burgundy
Gold. You know what? He
today.
Set the season passing record for yards, and he also set the record for 16 straight games with a passing touchdown. And I didn't know that. I mean, you know, when you would ask, okay, in the record books as far as who has the most passing yards, most consecutive games with a touchdown, you know, in the Redskins history, who would it be? And I don't think anybody would have guessed, you know, Captain Kirk would have had those numbers.
He has it now. It's all his because the record before, the previous record was 4,109 yards held by the unforgettable Jay Schrader. Right.
You know what? And number three on that list now is Brad Johnson. It's like, no one thinks about, you know, when you think about lifetime Redskin quarterbacks, nobody thinks about Brad Johnson.
Right. Brad Johnson, another quarterback who left here and won the Super Bowl. Right. Long line of Burgundy and Gold people leave here, then win the Super Bowl.
Or at least like Stan Humphries left here, went to a Super Bowl with San Diego.
This might be the year, right? You know, avoiding 500 by this win, right? They were 9-7 for the year.
Right.
Same record they had the last time they went to the playoffs, and it's sort of like it seems like it's destiny, man.
And the last quarterback to do that was RG3, and we'll talk to Jai Hossa about RG3's perspective as far as staying here in Washington with the salary cap numbers. But will he be a quarterback that leads Washington and then goes to a Super Bowl?
You know, one can only hope. But you know, you got to, you know, they played a very a cautious game. As a matter of fact, I was kind of amazed. They came out slinging. They came out throwing the ball, and it seemed like Coach Gruden made the determination. We're gonna. It's all systems go. You know, it's business as usual. And they came out slinging the ball, and the Cowboys seemed like they weren't ready for that. Right?
They were just expecting the Redskins just kind of come in, get this game over with, and let's go back. They weren't expecting to play a game. And again, this goes back to what I've been talking about when it comes to the Cowboys, just mediocre coaching. I mean, I don't know why. I know why Jerry Jones believes in Garrett so much, simply because he can boss him around more than likely.
Is that what it is?
Gotta be what it is.
Yeah, because I was surprised, because you'd figure the last game that they were playing for pride, if nothing else.
Yeah, and you're at home. It's been a tough season. Why not go out with the win? Why not come out and play tough?
They owed it to the fans, and it was like poetic justice, because you look in the stands and there was so much burgundy. There were so many burgundy jerseys in the stand. Burgundy jerseys, empty seats. That's what we saw at Texas Stadium today, right? And that's why I said it was kind of sad. You just wanted to put the beat down on them in front of all of their fans,
you know,
right?
What's interesting, too, you talk about the beatdown and poetic justice. It was almost like the season ended in this same fashion, just the other way around. You had mentioned that before the show started, that it was the Cowboys last year coming up to Washington with the division already wrapped up with nothing to play for. But they didn't rest anybody either. Romo, Dez, all those guys played, and they put a beating on the Redskins in Washington to end the Redskins season. And so it was almost like the same thing happening all over again, just opposite. The Redskins were the ones on top this year. Dallas, the losers
And deservingly so, right? That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the natural order of things. So all you burgundy and gold season tickets holders that sold your tickets this year to the Cowboys game and to the Saints game and to the Giants game, to all you people who sold your season tickets, I hope they put you all on the bottom of the list this year for the playoffs. I hope they put you all way up in the nose. Don't be coming over there saying, oh, yeah, I was in the playoffs. I went to the playoffs. I don't want to hear all that. You didn't like stick with the team when they were trying to achieve this goal. You didn't stick with them. Now don't be like a Monday morning fan. Now don't be there saying that you support the team. Now we don't want to hear that. Now, a true fan is, well, you got to give it to those Cowboy fans. The true fans with your team through thick and thin. Mm-hmm. If you want to sell your ticket to somebody, sell it to another burgundy and gold fan for this playoff game. Now at the time we're recording this, we aren't sure who the opponent is going to be. We don't know if it's going to be a Saturday game. Mm-hmm. We don't know if it's going to be a Sunday game. But if you're a burgundy and gold fan, don't sell that ticket. Show up.
And well, the thing is, the Skins have been really hot to close the season. I mean, you talk about playing well when it matters, and that's exactly what they're doing. Not only did they beat the Cowboys this pretty well to end the season to go 9-7, but they won four straight. What's this? Five out of the last six, and it looks like, six out of the last eight games. And so they're playing well the second half of the season, and so the team is on a roll. And yes, while it seemed like the team was struggling, that was very, very early. And it's easy to say that, yeah, the East is weak, but I mean, it's not as if they just beat up on NFC East opponents. I mean, you know, when you win six out of your last eight, you're playing well when it matters. And yes, they were trying to figure things out earlier in the season, trying to figure out how to an identity for the team. Still not sure if we found that just yet, but I think it may be coming to light the last couple of weeks, maybe the last 3 weeks. I think, you know, not that necessarily that we'll abandon the run, but I think it's more of a pass option team with Kirk Cousins in the game. It seems like that they are more prone to passing the ball than they are to running the ball. Alfred Morris had a great day on the ground for the Redskins. We'll get numbers in a second. But yeah, they won six out of the last eight games. That's a hot team. And I think because the East has been so bad and that's been the dialogue, we haven't really been focusing on the fact that the Redskins have played very, very well to end the season, the last eight games of the year.
They have, and combined with the fact that the other teams have been being coached so poorly that they can't recognize the fact that Jordan Reed is a Pro Bowl caliber tight end. Mm-hmm. They don't recognize the fact that DeSean Jackson Jackson's one of the fastest guys in the league. Mm-hmm. With hands, a lot of fast guys can't catch. Deshaun has hands that can catch. They don't seem to recognize that. They don't seem – and you got to give it to – again, you got to give it to Scott McLuhan and his eye for talent. Scott McLuhan, Doug Williams, the whole personnel department of this team who realize that it's not just the 11 guys you put on the field on offense, the 11 on defense, but you need depth at all those positions because they had key injuries at wide receiver this year. They had offensive line injuries. They had both starting middle linebackers went out this year. Mm-hmm. And the secondary was just decimated. But these guys stepped up. It's just the next man up philosophy held true with this team.
I'm literally hearing names, and I'm like, who is that? Like, when did he get picked up off the street somewhere in that secondary? And guys are stepping up and making plays. And you talked about some of the injuries at wide receiver. I mean, that gave guys like, you know, Rashad Ross and Jamison Crowder a chance to play. And when you look at what they did against the Cowboys to end the season, I mean, Jamison Crowder, 5 catches for 109 yards, 1 touchdown. That's a major contribution and for a rookie. And I believe he set the rookie record for receptions in a season.
Right.
I'll have to check that out. But
yeah,
I'm
he was
sure
very close to it. If he didn't set it, it was formally held, if he did break it, by one James Arthur Monk.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
Yeah, I heard of him.
From what I remember.
Yeah, I think he's in that Hall of Fame thing. Yeah, so, you know, the talent that these guys brought in off the street, you have to give them a ton of credit for because that's one thing this team has sorely lacked. If it was an injury, that was just it. Now, I do want to mention one of these guys that they picked up, Deshaun Phillips, suffered a very scary injury today when he ran head-to-head with Darren McFadden. Mm-hmm. Now, he did have movement in all his extremities, but
and that was the second guy this game who McFadden came up head-to-head against McFadden.
He had concussed Kashawn Jarrett earlier in the game. These guys maybe they had to practice getting down a little bit lower, right? If you're in that safety position, right? You're supposed to be the hitter and not the hittee. But at this recording of this, we do know that he was in the hospital. You got to give it to the NFL for all. They took every single precaution, even though he was moving his extremities. Mm-hmm. They totally immobilized him, took him off the field. And you saw the concern on both teams. Once you're faced with your own mentality as a football player, right, that changes the way you perceive the game, right, because it's all systems go until you see a guy laying there or, you know, being rolled off on that stretcher tied to that board, right? So, that sort of took something out of the wind out of the sails of this team, and that's why I believe the Cowboys were able to come back and throw a couple of scores on the board. They would have had more if they didn't throw interceptions in the end zone or drop the ball going
and
across
then fumble
the goal line. Little things
about
like
sloppy
that.
Play.
You know, they keep playing. One day they'll be a professional football team.
Yeah, well, let's look at some of the numbers. You're listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The website is federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. We're talking about the Washington Redskins' 34-23 victory to end the season 9-7. NFC East champs heading into the playoffs. Let's look at a few of the numbers. We talked about Kirk Cousins. Colt McCoy, by the way, in relief, 7-for-11, 128 yards and a touchdown. Alfred Morris, 100 yards again today. And I think this is only the third or second time that he's ran for 100 yards this season, 19 carries for 100 yards. Jamison Crowder, 5 catches, 109 yards. This was really an overall well-played game by the Redskins. And again, this is even with the second string offense, with Colt McCoy playing in the second half, resting the starters the rest of the way, and Dallas still couldn't, get enough points, like you said, with these crazy turnovers right there in the red zone, could not find a way to fight back, to get back into the game. And so really, really good effort from the Redskins to not let up just because the East is wrapped up, but to still play to win, get that win, get to 9 wins, and then to get into the playoffs with some type of momentum.
You know, the odd man out here and all the drama, as much as I have preached that I was a RG3 fan and that, I thought that he wasn't given the same opportunity with the revamped team that Kurt had. The odd man out here was Colt McCoy because he suffered through all this last year, too. He was a starter for a while there.
That's right.
And he
ended the season as the starter and just got hurt. And then I believe RG3 played the rest of the way.
Yeah. And But he suffered. He got hurt because he didn't have an offensive line either. He didn't have any protection either, right? You know, he didn't have a tight end he could throw to either. And he was never given the chance to actually compete for this position. If
right.
It'd been one thing if they'd gone into camp and said, all three quarterbacks are equal, we're going to have an open competition. But Kurt was awarded this starting job, right? And Colt never really got a chance. And what does he do when he comes in? He comes in and throws a touchdown pass, right? He's like, I want to let you guys know I'm still here, right?
Right,
you know,
exactly.
I know on TV you all show the pictures of Robert in the sweatsuit every game, but I'm still on this team.
Because, I mean, not only, you know, look, you could be auditioning for another team that may pick you up if the Redskins choose to release you, or you could be solidifying yourself to saying, hey, you know, Robert's days here may be numbered. I want you guys to know that you've got a solid number two in me, and I can run this offense. I can be productive. And so don't forget, hey, I'm here too when you're thinking about your plans for the future.
Yeah, but right now the future is next week, because we're just a couple of games away from Super Bowl 50.
Right, you know, absolutely, and the Redskins still have a shot.
Am I looking too far down the road right now? Right, you know,
just a little.
Why are we going to be in the playoffs if we don't talk about the Super Bowl, man?
Well, that's the thing. It's like when we talked about this last week. Is that when you entered the season, you just had the expectation of getting better. You figured 7-9. You want to see the offensive line improve. You want to see some consistency at quarterback. You want to see these young receivers. You want to see the defense get better. You wanted to see some improvement. And then next thing you know, we're halfway through the season and it's like, hey, they're kind of still around. And then you get to 3 weeks before the season's out and you're like, they have a real shot at winning the East. And now that they've won the East and they're in the playoffs and the season is over, you're right. Why not talk about advancing? Because the truth of the matter is, right now, we don't know who they play in the first round. Again, at the time that the show is being recorded, we don't know who they play in the first round. But none of these teams are unbeatable. And if you do get a draw, let's just say Minnesota, I don't see why anyone would think that that's a game the Redskins can't win. And so this first round, once you get out of that first round, you get to the second round, anything can happen, especially when you're playing your best football at this point in time. And again, the Redskins winning six of the last eight games. They're on fire the second half of the season.
Yeah, well, you know why, don't you? With Kirk, man, I mean, we had said this earlier in the season that he was a little bit too complacent back there. Like, he threw a pick, I remember, against the Giants. He threw a pick, and he said, well, you know, it's one of those things, right? You know, try to get in there. You know, that's a throw that you got. That's a, you know, throw you got making this league. And we said, no, Kirk, that's a throw you got complete in this league. I can throw it, but you got to complete it. You got to get a little bit more into this thing, man. And then with the Tampa Bay thing and the mantra now that, you know,
That's right. Everybody in the city
is imitating Captain Kirk now. And, you know, I'm not sure. We got to go back and check the records. I'm pretty sure we invented that Captain Kirk thing, man. I'm hearing that everywhere.
You know. Last year, I think, right?
I think we're the ones that invented that. But, you know, we got to go back. We're not. Look, feel free to use it at your convenience. You know, it's for the
we
fans.
We won't copyright or anything like that.
We're the giving type here on the Federal Football
exactly.
Report. Yeah.
And we've got more coming up on the Federal Football Report. We'll continue to talk about the Redskins' 34-23 victory over the Dallas Cowboys. We'll also recap some of the season for you. 9-7 NFC East champions. We'll take a look at the playoffs, even though as of right now, we're not sure who they play, but we'll do a breakdown of every single possible matchup the Redskins could have. And we're going to take a look at some offseason stuff. Of course, we want to talk about RG3, the cap benefits, the cap hits from keeping them, from letting them go. We've got the best in the business coming up. J.I. Hallsell will talk caps with us coming up next on the Federal Football Report.
WFED.
You've been thinking about switching to solar. Don't wait much longer or you'll miss out on this year's federal tax credit. Move quickly because the tide is turning. Solar power is becoming a threat to big energy profits. In fact, some power companies are even pushing for extra fees to make up for lost revenue. Warning, you must have your solar system up and running by midnight December 31st or you'll miss out on this year's federal tax credit. Energy prices are expected to increase by as much as 40% in the near future. Go solar now with no down payment, interest, or payments for a whole year. You can afford it because we finance. Get your government money and save big every month. Big Energy is getting nervous and the door of opportunity is about to slam shut. Paying $150 a month or more on energy bills? Then call 1-800-MY-SOLAR now for a free in-home assessment. 1-800-MY-SOLAR.
My home, my savings.
You know what ruins a family camping trip?
Staying zipped in the tent because of ragweed pollen, the number one cause of fall allergies. Allegra gets you back in the fun by relieving your worst indoor and outdoor symptoms, even at 8 times high pollen levels. Allegra's non-drowsy relief starts in 1 hour and stays strong for 24. Camping is for bonding, not sneezing. So get Allegra, stop suffering, and start living.
Use only as directed in controlled environment studies using pollen deemed high by the National Allergy Bureau. Visit Allegra.com.
Geico RV presents Reflections from the Road.
I love the great outdoors and saving money. So I made the easy switch to Geico RV insurance.
Which was a whole lot easier than eating my wife's cooking for a week.
Rob, I can hear you.
Sometimes I think she can read my thoughts.
Yeah, you were thinking about Geico RV insurance.
Man, she's good.
Well, you are saying everything out loud.
I meant to do an internal monologue.
Geico, for your RV, trailer, or camper. See how much you could save.
My grades were bad. I would, like, get D's and C's.
I appeared to be doing good at my school life, but if you would see me at home, it would have been a completely different story.
I mean, it was just rough focusing on school when your mother is somebody you have to take care of. It got worse and worse and worse throughout the years.
There are students who need somebody.
They can trust someone, and it could be the first person they've ever trusted in their life.
Communities and Schools is lowering America's dropout rate by helping more than 1.3 million kids every year get whatever they need to succeed in school.
If something was going on at home, we would go just stop by Miss Liberty's office and talk to her.
Communities and Schools vouched for me when everyone else had lost hope.
You can help change the picture of education right here in your community and across the nation. Visit communitiesandschools.org.
I hear people say we can't save every kid, but I think that we can.
So I'm having this debate with a landlord.
I said, no pets. Can't rent you the apartment.
My dog is not a pet. Look, I'm legally blind. I need my guide dog.
Sorry, those are the rules.
Rules that allow for housing discrimination? So I made a call to HUD. Turns out, landlords must make reasonable accommodations for assistance animals.
If you think you've been discriminated against, call HUD at 1-800-669-9777 or go to hud.gov/fairhousing.
Fair housing is your right. Use it.
A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. The only thing I didn't learn in school today is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
And now back to Claude and Kevin and the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. You know, they aren't half bad for a couple of old guys.
Welcome back to the Federal Football Report on 1500 AM and also on the website federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. The Washington Redskins closed the season with a big win, 34-23 over the Dallas Cowboys, 9-7 NFC East champs. We're going to take a look at the first round of the playoffs coming up next in the next segment. But right now, I know the season isn't even over yet for the Redskins, and we may be used to the season being over after the last week, but it's not. But for cap's sake and things like that, we want to take a look at the offseason to see some offseason moves. We've got big questions. We've been asking these questions all year, and we've got the man to help us out. We've got J.I. Halsell from NFLContractMatrix.com. J.I., thank you so much for joining us on the Federal Football Report.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So right off the break, I think the first thing we all want to talk about is RG3, is Robert. And what are the implications of keeping Robert on the team cap-wise?
Right. So Robert currently is under contract for 2016 at $16 million.
Mm-hmm.
That $16 million is currently only guaranteed for injury, which is in part why you haven't seen Robert on the field this year, because they wanted to protect his health so that they wouldn't be on the hook for that $16 million in the event that they want to part ways with him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Robert is on the roster at the start of the 2016 league year, which is in mid-March, then that injury-only guarantee converts to skill, meaning we terminate your contract because we feel like their skill has diminished. They are still on the hook for $16 million. So all that said, you'll probably see Robert terminated, most likely before the start of the 2016 league year, so that the team can get out of that $16 million commitment to him in 2016.
J.I., so what was the benefit of them keeping him on the roster this year? Because when we saw Cousins being named the starter, we knew that his days in Washington were pretty well numbered. And most of the so-called experts around the league fully anticipated him being released. In your professional opinion, why did they keep him on this team?
You know, I think that there are probably people in that building who would have preferred to have released Robert and had that roster spot because, you know, there are only 53 roster spots, right? And every one of those roster spots is valuable. And so when you have a quarterback who is not in your plans long term, you know, you'd probably rather have that roster spot used to someone, you know, who's going to be there. But there are other people in that building who, you know, feel compelled for whether it's off-the-field reasons or what have you, or pride reasons because they invested so much in acquiring Robert that you wanted to at least hold on to him for the balance of the season because you don't know what could happen. You know, you didn't know that Kirk Cousins was going to flourish the way that he did, and so perhaps, you know, turning to Robert late in the season was going to be a viable option. So some would say that, you know, there was no downside per se of keeping Robert on the roster as long as he was healthy. There are arguments to both sides there, but, you know, he's there right now. He's taking up that roster spot, and he will not have a roster spot come 2016.
While you're listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, the website's federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. We're with J.I. Hallsell of NFL Contract Matrix, metrics.com. J.I., so when it comes to Robert, would there be an option that's cap-friendly when it comes to a trade, or are any other teams in this league pretty much afraid of that contract?
Yeah, you're not going to find any suitors that are going to take on the $16 million allocation that he's worth currently for 2016. So, and because the sentiment around the league is that the Redskins are going to most likely terminate Robert, that there aren't going to be many teams out there that are going to be willing to trade for him because they feel like, you know, we can just get him once he becomes a free agent. Now, that being said, if Robert potentially wants the trading period begins after the Super Bowl, is willing to restructure his deal in order to facilitate a trade, that could be a possible outcome that allows for the Redskins to, you know, get something in return for Robert. But from a Robert Griffin perspective, all players want to be able to hit the market and choose their destination, choose the club that is going to best put them in a position to succeed. So from a Robert standpoint, maybe you're unwilling to renegotiate that $16 million in 2016 because you want to be able to become a free agent being terminated from the Redskins so that you can pick your next spot as opposed to a team like the Redskins or someone else picking where your next destination is going to be.
Now, I want to let the listeners know that J.I. has a unique perspective on the mindset of this organization because he, at one time, was the salary cap expert for the Burgundy and Gold. So you get insight right now that you wouldn't get. You other guys are speculating. J.I. knows. Now tell me, J.I., it seems to me that with the way that they handled this whole RG3 Cousins situation, especially with the relationship with Gruden and the way Gruden would publicly in his press conferences down RG3, that they shot themselves in the foot because they publicly devalued this guy. They lessened his worth. So if other teams realize that they can get this guy on the cheap, what is the incentive for making a trade for Robert right now or when he becomes available?
I wouldn't say that, you know, at least the way it was handled publicly, I don't know that it necessarily devalued Robert because Robert's film, and meaning his lack of production recently, his inability to stay healthy, that's what has diminished, you know, Robert's trade value, and particularly in the eyes of other general managers. In terms of, you know, the head coach and leaks coming out of the building, kind of downing Robert, you know, from a media relations standpoint and from a perception management standpoint, sure, you know, that didn't help the case and didn't help the handling of the situation. But purely from a football evaluation standpoint and from a whether or not we should trade for Robert Griffin standpoint, I don't think the way it was handled publicly necessarily devalued Robert.
Well, that's interesting. And so let's move from Robert to who seems to be the quarterback of the future, Kirk Cousins. He's up for a contract. What kind of room do you think the Redskins have cap-wise for Cousins? Will this be a big contract for him or not?
Well, you know, obviously the assumption that Robert's $16 million is going to be coming off of the 2016 books, that frees up a good chunk of cap space for you to extend a Kirk Cousins. And just as you guys have mentioned previously, I once was a salary cap analyst for the Redskins for two seasons. But for three seasons, I also worked as director of football analytics for Priority Sports, which represents Kirk Cousins. So kind of understand this Kirk Cousins situation from both sides. And when you think about Kirk Cousins, you know, we would all agree that do we think that he's in the top tier of NFL starting quarterbacks, particularly from a market value standpoint? No. But is it reasonable to say that he's in that second tier in terms of market value of starting quarterbacks? He can make that argument, particularly given the second half of the season that he's had, given the fact that he's leading them into the playoffs, and more so given the fact that the Redskins don't have a quarterback in the contract in 2016. Right. When you include, you know, Robert being terminated. So when you think about, you know, can they afford Kirk Cousins? They absolutely can, because Robert's $16 million will be off the books. Has Kirk done enough to prove that he deserves a contract extension? He has this year. Now the question is, what's the appropriate market value? And you start to look at kind of that second tier of quarterbacks, so the Andy Dalton contracts of the world, the Alex Smith contracts of the world, the Ryan Tannehill contracts of the world, and that puts you in that $15 to $17 million per year range, which when quarterbacks like Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers are getting, and Cam Newton are getting $20+ million per year, it's actually a bargain. And given the fact that the salary cap is increasing every single year, it's relative to the quarterback market, that's a bargain.
Well, seeing that you do know the representation that Cousins has, and with the apparent personality of Cousins, do you think that this is a deal that's going to get done sooner rather than later?
Yeah, it's a deal that gets done. You know, Mike McCartney, who is Kirk Cousins' agent, has a great relationship with Scott McLuhan. A lot of things in the NFL come down to relationships, like a lot of things in life. Mm-hmm. And because there is that good working relationship between Mike McCartney and Scott McLuhan, I think that a deal gets done that both sides can hang, you know, there's going to be elements of the deal that both sides can hang their hat on. So whether that's, you know, Kirk Cousins being able to hang his hat on, potentially getting, say, a $40 million guarantee, while the Redskins hanging their hat on the fact that they were able to get him at $15.5 or $16 million per year, when, again, the starting quarterback market is north of $17 million per year. So it's a deal that ultimately gets done. From a Washington Redskins standpoint, they have no choice but to get the deal done, because I suspect they don't want to have Kirk Cousins playing in 2016 on a one-year $20 million franchise tag.
Yeah, they did that with a guy named Rippon once upon a time, and it hurt him in the long run.
No, absolutely. It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, the website federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield, J.I. Hall-Sell from NFLContractMetrics.com. In our final moments, another question regarding contracts. We've got Alfred Morris looking for a contract. Now, normally running backs have one big shot, you know, one shot at that big contract, and we saw this last year kind of in Dallas with DeMarco Murray, where he left. So Alfred Morris, and it's interesting, his production this year down. Now, whether that's because, as we talked about here on the show, they're not feeding him the ball, maybe not wanting to give him a big contract when his contract's up. Do you see him getting a contract here in Washington to stay, or is Alf's days numbered as well?
I think that they're not going to go out of their way and pay Alfred a premium to stay here. Mm-hmm. When you drafted Matt Jones, and Matt has shown, you know, flashes of being a productive running back. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look at what is Alfred Morris's value on the market, when you look at guys like Mark Ingram and C.J. Spiller, both in New Orleans, who signed contracts in that $3 million per year range, mm-hmm. that's probably where Alfred Morris ends up. If Alfred Morris feels like, you know, he's deserving of something a little bit more than that, I suspect the Redskins will let him walk. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think, again, I don't think the Redskins go out of their way to pay a premium to re-sign Alfred Morris when you have a cheaper and decently productive Matt Jones already on the roster.
Hey, Claude said earlier that these were the final moments, but I can't do this. This is too much knowledge, and I get too much bad knowledge, you know, during the course of my sports research. But right now, we're getting true facts, so I got to be greedy here, Jay. I got a couple more questions to ask you. We were talking quarterbacks, and I was saying earlier to Claude before we started the show, the odd man out this season has been Colt McCoy, who was the starter at one time last year. His contract is up as well. Do you see this team offering Colt a deal, experienced backup quarterback to stay, or do you think there's going to be some interest in the league, and do you think that it might get a little competitive?
I suspect, you know, much like Alfred Morris, they're not going to break the bank to re-sign Colt McCoy, but I think that when you look at the success that they've had this year, and even with probably what might be some level of awkwardness with Robert being in the quarterback room, I suspect that they like their quarterback room with Kirk Cousins and Colt McCoy. And when you look at kind of the backup quarterback market, it's not expensive. I mean, you can sign a Colt McCoy to a one-year, $1.5 million contract, and it's not killing your salary cap. It's not, you know, an exorbitant amount of money, and it's for a guy who knows your scheme. And all of this revolves around continuity and being able to go from the successes of 2015 and have those carry into 2016. And part of that continuity not only involves Kirk Cousins, but also having that continuity in with your backup quarterback, Colt McCoy. And so I suspect that, you know, they'll probably bring Colt back on a one-year deal that pays him, you know, the average for a better backup quarterback, which, again, is in that $1.5 million range.
Okay, one last question. I want you to take off your expert hat for a minute and put on your fan hat. Now, using some of that expert knowledge, now I don't want you to reveal your sources. Give me like maybe three possible destinations, one of them that's totally, totally ridiculous, so you won't be accused of giving us insider information. Just give us three possible destinations for RG3 next year.
An outlandish one, Atlanta. You know, with Kyle Shanahan down there.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
they have an established veteran quarterback in Matt Ryan. But Matt had some struggles this year. Given kind of the breakup with the Shanahans and Robert's role in that, this is why this is part of my outlandish
question.
But, you know, Robert, there's some history there. There's some successful history there with Kyle and Robert. When you look at the Dallas Cowboys as a possible destination, given Tony Romo has had injury concerns, they've found themselves starting telling more today. You know, Robert is definitely better than any of the guys at that position.
Yeah.
And maybe even the Houston Texans staying in the state of Texas. When you think about Brian Hoyer's had some concussion issues, they've been down to T.J. Yates and Brandon Whedon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so and Bill O'Brien prides himself on being a quarterback tutor. So perhaps, you know, Robert is a guy that he sees as a great piece of clay.
He's the best in the business. I'm a big fan. Kevin's a big fan. He's J.I. Hallsell of NFLContractMetrics.com. J.I., thank you so much for joining us on the Federal Football
Report. Before you go, J.I., tell the listeners where they can find out more about the work you do. How are they going to follow you on Twitter, Facebook, and all this other social media that's taking over the world?
Yeah, definitely catch me on Twitter, at SalaryCap101 is the Twitter handle. And if you just want to learn more about player contracts and particularly how much players are making, you go to NFLContractMetrics.com.
He's J.I. Hallsell. J.I., thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Kevin, he's the best in the business, man.
Absolutely, man.
J.I.'s just the best in the business. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. We're going to come back and close out this season, ending show.
That's
right. We'll take a look at the playoffs coming up next on the Federal Football Report.
My family's safety is my responsibility, and it's worse when I travel. So my wife and I decided to get a home security system. The best advice came from an ex-cop buddy who said he had a Vivint home security system. So we went with Vivint. Anyway, about a week later, I was traveling. It was late, and I got that feeling. You know, like I should check on my family? So I connected to my Vivint home security system from my smartphone. My security camera showed everything was okay. But my oldest forgot to lock the back door and set the alarm. No worries. I armed the system and locked the doors right from my smartphone. Bottom line, with Vivint, I worry way less.
Get Vivint Home Security, winner of Consumer Digest's Best Buy Award for its advanced security. Call and get up to $1,800 in security equipment at no charge. That's $1,800 in security equipment at no charge. Call 800-961-5406. 800-961-5406. 800-961-5406.
Restrictions apply. 48 or 60-month agreement at minimum $68 per month and activation fee required. Not available in Louisiana. See Vivint.com for license numbers.
You know what ruins a family camping trip? Staying zipped in the tent because of ragweed pollen, the number one cause of fall allergies. Allegra gets you back in the fun by relieving your worst indoor and outdoor symptoms, even at 8 times high pollen levels. Allegra's non-drowsy relief starts in 1 hour and stays strong for 24. Camping is for bonding, not sneezing. So get Allegra, stop suffering, and start living.
Use only as directed in controlled environment studies using pollen deemed high by the National Allergy Bureau. Visit Allegra.com.
Geico presents Strange Savings Stories. Jason Ray noticed a blue birthmark had appeared on his forehead in the shape of the Geico gecko. Jason felt compelled to switch his car insurance to Geico and save hundreds of dollars with great discounts. By nightfall, the birthmark had disappeared. Jason's wife, Jeannie, thinks it was probably just blueberry jam from breakfast. Jason prefers to believe otherwise.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
You've been thinking about switching to solar. Don't wait much longer or you'll miss out on this year's federal tax credit. Move quickly because the tide is turning. Solar power is becoming a threat to big energy profits. In fact, some power companies are even pushing for extra fees to make up for lost revenue. Warning, you must have your solar system up and running by midnight December 31st or you'll miss out on this year's federal tax credit. Energy prices are expected to increase by as much as 40% in the near future. Go solar now with no down payment, interest, or payments for a whole year. You can afford it because we finance. Get your government money and save big every month. Big Energy is getting nervous and the door of opportunity is about to slam shut. Paying $150 a month or more on energy bills? Then call 1-800-MY-SOLAR now for a free in-home assessment. 1-800-MY-SOLAR.
My home, my savings, 1-800-MY-SOLAR.
Getting your child home safely.
Cap your views together 3 times.
Is just a click away.
There's no place like home.
But making sure your child is in the right seat is just one of the steps down the road to safer travels.
I don't know how it works.
Find the right seat for your little one's age and size. There's no better way to get home safely. Know for sure that your child is in the right seat.
How can I ever thank you enough?
Get all the facts at safercar.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Only in the forest can you see this. But nothing beats the moment you see that.
Cool!
That's your child's eyes opening up to a world of possibilities.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. And you might just see this. Visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Now, back to the Federal Football Report with Claude and Kevin. You know, they asked me to read this, but did they invite me to be on their dopey show? Of course not. The nerve of some people. Come on, guys. I like football, too.
Welcome back to the final segment of the regular season edition of the Federal Football Report. The Washington Redskins win the NFC East, locked it up 2 weeks ago. 9-7 on the year, 34-23 victory over the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas to put an exclamation point. Yeah, one of those words I've always had an issue with, even in grammar school, on this season. And you know what, Kevin? That's the last time I'm going to say anything about the regular season. That whole 34-23 win over the Cowboys, last thing I'm going to say about the regular season. You know why? Because it's playoff time.
Yeah, it's another season now. That's regular season. That's for those losing teams.
Yeah, it's
man.
For all the bums. It's for all the people who are just happy to participate. We're going to hand out participation trophies later on in the season. Later on in the show before we close, we're going to do that. Let's hand out some participation trophies. We're going to thank certain people for just participating.
Except for the Cowboys, because they didn't really participate today. They didn't even show up. Do you know that Greg Hardy had a bonus clause in his contract? If he had gotten 2 sacks today, he would have gotten at least an extra $1 million.
Well, it would have helped if he would have played the first 4 games of the season instead of being a bonus. on here and get suspended
for
it.
Yeah, that's true.
We know what that's
all
about.
But he did light up Kirk one time. I got a little concerned because he lit him up well. He was just, he lit him up well. But, like I said, our hopes and prayers are with Deshaun Phillips. Fortunately, like I said.
Because at the time that we're recording the show, we're not really, as of now, it's unclear to the extent of that injury. And so we don't know just yet. Hopefully things are clearer tomorrow and things are looking bright for the young man tomorrow as well.
Yeah, hopefully he'll get a chance to play in the playoffs. You know why? Because Burgundy and Gold are in the playoffs.
Burgundy and Gold going to the playoffs. So we'll talk about some of these potential matchups. Kevin, let's take a look at some of these playoff scenarios. Because, right now, we're not sure who the Redskins will play. It could be the Seahawks, could be the Vikings, could be Green Bay. So run down these scenarios for us. Kevin.
First of all, I want Seattle. That's, this is
you said that last year. Last week.
Yeah,
the
following opinion
exactly
does not necessarily reflect that of the Federal Football Report or Claude Jennings. But Kevin Stanfield wants Seattle. There's some payback.
I want
here.
Seattle, too.
Okay, all right. Well, it does reflect.
For a different reason.
It does reflect the opinion of the Federal Football Report. Now, for Seattle to be the opponent, they have to win. They're currently playing the Cardinals. Now, let me see if I got this right. Is that right? Green Bay has to beat Minnesota as well for Seattle to come to town. Now, that's what I want. We want Seattle to beat the Cardinals, who the Cardinals are playing for a home field throughout, right?
Mm-hmm. They're not laying down.
That's right. So it's going to be a tough test. And Green Bay has to beat Minnesota.
So a Seattle win and a Green Bay win, Seattle comes to Washington.
That's right. Now, if Minnesota beats Green Bay, the Packers will be the fifth seed regardless, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the Packers will come to town.
So if Minnesota wins, no matter what happens with Seattle, Green Bay comes to town.
That's right. And, we could stand a little Aaron Rodgers because they don't have a whole lot going on in Green Bay this season, right? They're a playoff team, but we still got Aaron Rodgers. He's still Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
You
don't want to get discount double checked.
That's right. Quarterbacks like that, sometimes they can will. They can will because he said, man, I can get a whole new State Farm series if I make it to the championship game again. Now, if Minnesota loses to Green Bay and Seattle loses to Arizona, Green Bay would win the NFC North, but the Vikings would be 10-6 and a game ahead of Seattle, which would then put Minnesota in town.
Okay.
Right. But and then we get a healthy dose of Adrian Peterson.
Teddy Bridgewater's having a pretty nice young career so far. Seems like he'll be a pretty sturdy quarterback. So yeah, so let's run down the matchups with all these three. Now, of course, let's start with Seattle because, like you said, you want Seattle. You want to bring back that we want Dallas, but we want Seattle. So how does this matchup stack up with the Seahawks if that's the team the Redskins play?
Well, it stands up rough because they've always had problems with a mobile quarterback, in particular Russell Wilson. I remember a Monday night game they played, and I believe Kirk started the game, and Kirk actually played a pretty good game, and the Seattle Seahawks played a poor game, except for Russell Wilson. They ran the read option like 18 times, and every time was a big yardage, right? Ryan Kerrigan does have a knack for getting caught inside sometimes, but his play has really, really improved this year. I think he was hobbled by injuries, but he's been having a Pro Bowl caliber season. So they've had some budding young receivers. The defense is not once what it once was because of attrition and free agency, right? They've been so good for so long, people were willing to pay them money, and the defense was dispersed. And I think they got a good chance. I think you can throw deep on Seattle. I think it'll be a shootout. It'll be a total shootout. And that's why I want Seattle to come to town.
Ah, so you want Seattle to come to town. Now, this matchup with the Green Bay Packers. Now, again, from my standpoint, I think all three games, again, are very winnable. I think Seattle may be the toughest out of the three for the Redskins to beat. I think Seattle's defense actually has been coming along the same way we talked about with the Redskins. The second half of the season, winning 6 out of the last 8 games, they're playing well when it matters. I think the Seahawks defense struggled early, but again, when Cam Chancellor sat out the first couple of games of the season, you get him back. There are a few injuries, and so now I think that they're starting to kind of come together. As of now, while we're recording the show, we're actually watching the Seattle Arizona game, and their defense is holding Arizona to a pretty tight game. I mean, 17-6 right now as we watch it. And so the defense is standing up pretty well against Arizona. And so I think that that presents the toughest challenge for the Redskins offense would be to play Seattle. And then again, like you said, with the challenges against Russell Wilson, and just that would be the toughest situation right
there.
Although
I think you can throw deep on Richard Sherman. I think that he's a great cornerback, mm-hmm. but I think the past couple of seasons he's been living off a reputation. Matter of fact, on that same Monday night game last year, I was talking about DeSean Jackson burned Sherman a mm-hmm. couple of times, right?
Well, yeah, and see, that's what happens. Like you talk about living off reputation, a lot of times, you know, you get these lockdown cornerbacks, and because they're so good, you know, you get this reputation of guys not throwing to you at all, just not throwing to your side, and sometimes they never get tested.
Right.
And it's okay to test these guys every now and again just to see, okay, yeah, because look, everybody, even Deion will get beat every now and again deep if you can catch a cornerback sleeping sometimes.
If I'm Gruden, first play of the game when we get the ball after we win the toss and elect to receive this time in the playoffs, first play of the game, I'm throwing deep to DeSean Jackson.
Take it
deep. I don't care if he's triple covered. Just throw him deep. Let's put that in his head from the beginning. I think that'll open things up. Okay.
And so one of the other opponents the Redskins could face would be the Minnesota Vikings. Again, we went over all the scenarios here on the Federal Football Report, 1500 AM, federalnewsradio.com. Minnesota, I think that might be the Skins' best chance to win the first round playoff game, despite knowing you'll get a healthy dosage of Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I guess will concern me the most. Minnesota's been coming along. They're a young team. They've been battling. And what's really been helpful to them is not really a local product, but a guy that a lot of people in this area are familiar with, and that's Stephon Diggs, right, mm-hmm. who played so many years, had a great career at the University mm-hmm. of Maryland,
yeah.
Suffered a couple of broken legs, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But he's really, really starting to come along in Minnesota. And the coaching he's gotten has shown him – he doesn't have to just run as fast as he can in a straight line
mm-hmm.
all the time. If you can do other things, like do a curl
right.
route every once
yeah.
in a while, that makes you effective. And he and Bridgewater have been hooking up quite a bit. So that matchup concerns me a little bit more than Seattle. I just think just the raw passion I got against Seattle will
uh-huh.
win that one. But we got to be a little bit more careful against Minnesota. I think the defense can be had. They're good against the run, but we don't run the ball that much anyway, right? So what difference does that make, right? You know. So yeah, I'm a little bit concerned, but totally beatable. Like you
mm-hmm.
said.
And now finally the Green Bay Packers, which I think actually may, now that I think about it, maybe the Skins' best chance for a win in the playoffs could come to town in one of those scenarios. And what would you see as far as this matchup with the Packers, Kevin?
You know, the Packers have been an enigma this year, because when they lose big, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they can almost have no chance, but then they can be very, very competitive at a time. And it seems like Aaron Rodgers is doing all that he can, but he doesn't have a solid running game behind him. And with the injuries of
when they
lost Jordy Nelson, mm-hmm. that world just came to end, which is so weird, because Jordy Nelson used to be like the number three receiver on that
right.
team, right? You know, but now he's the man, and the world comes to an end. So the defense is going to have to do some schemes. They're going to have to confuse mm-hmm. Rodgers. They're going to have to hit him early.
Speaking of defense, and the Green Bay defense is nothing to really kind of be afraid of going against those guys.
Yeah, old man Carson Palmer lit them up a while ago.
Right.
Speaking of which, we were talking about the teams, like the guys that you felt you're happy for, just guys like the success in their career. Carson Palmer
guys. You know, Russell Wilson was one of those guys. You know, Carson Palmer was one of those guys. I mean, you know, of course, great quarterback in college at USC.
Mm-hmm.
He comes into the league. He's playing very well in Cincinnati, but just hampered by injuries. I mean, and unfortunate knee injuries, and you hate to see that. And look, I don't fault Cincinnati for parting ways with Carson Palmer, because as an organization, you have to understand that you want to move forward. And if you feel like you can't because this quarterback or this whatever player it is really is injury prone, sometimes you have to part ways and move in a different direction. And they felt like they had to do that. Then Carson Palmer goes to Arizona, looks similar to the old Carson Palmer, but then he gets hurt again. I mean, even last year, you know, you felt bad for Arizona, because look, Arizona's not really a surprise team this year. They were this good last year, except they were down to their fourth string quarterback
right,
by the
right.
time the playoffs
exactly.
came along, and they just couldn't score and still was relatively competitive against Carolina in the first round of the playoffs.
Hey, it's too bad they didn't have a guy like a Brandon Weeden on their team,
yeah.
right, who can come in and just take, you know, probably don't even know the plays, but come in for a team and just lead us to the playoffs, man. You know,
the same way he's doing for Texans. Yeah. And what's interesting, too, you talk about former Cowboys who are now in the playoffs. We just play a game called Former Cowboys Who Are Now in the Playoffs, and the Cowboys are watching. Kristen Michael, who the Cowboys traded for, the running back for Seattle, yeah, played most of the season with Dallas. Dallas releases him. He goes back to Seattle, and he's on the roster now. He's playing in the final game.
Actually,
the game, getting carries for Seattle against Arizona, and he's now going to the playoffs. Can you imagine the roller coaster there for those two guys there on a team that can't seem to win without Romo, and then you get sent back to Seattle, and Whedon gets sent to the Texans, and now you're playing postseason football.
Hey, man, along the lines of poetic justice, did you see that in the post Chip Kelly era, DeMarco Murray's first touch in the post Chip Kelly era
was like a 50-yard run, right? And afterwards, what's also kind of ironic, he then throws up the Dez Bryant X after he scores. I'm like, did he remember that he's in Philadelphia, he's not in Dallas anymore, or is that a sign of things to come?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Will they be trying to get back to Dallas?
You know,
Who knows?
You just stay here, just like J.I. gave you the knowledge. We'll give you the knowledge here in the Federal Football Report.
Absolutely, and so we'll do that playoff style next week. The Washington Redskins in the playoffs. We'll have a complete playoff review next week after the first round game here on the Federal Football Report.
WFED.